I showed you a few examples where using different sigma values for the Gaussian, we can get some noise immunity, but the edge positions detected also vary. Some of the edges disappear as sigma is increased because spurious edges related to noise are removed. But some of the edges related to real objects could also change slightly in position as the smoothing affects the details in the image. There are methods to combine information obtained from the Laplacianov Gaussian for different values of sigma, known as different scales of the smoothing operator. Sigma is seen as the scale of the operator, because as you increase sigma, the size of the Laplacian of Gaussian increases. As you increase sigma, the width of the operator increases, and hence the extent of smoothing changes. Marvin Hildreth suggested that physical phenomena may be detected simultaneously over what are called several channels tuned to different spatial size or scale with an approach they called spatial coincidence. It is interpreted to mean that when there is a real edge in an image, you would expect an output in the zero crossing of the Laplacian of Gaussian across multiple scales. And those that are spurious will disappear and will not be present at multiple scales. So if you can combine information from multiple scales, you could improve the robustness of detection of edges. So an intensity change that is due to a single physical phenomenon is indicated by zero crossing segments present in independent channels over a certain range of scales, having the same position and orientation in each channel. Now, there could be small changes in the position because of smoothing, but disregarding such small changes, then these edges that are detected by zero crossings should have the same position and, in particular, orientation at multiple scales or over a range of scales. The use of techniques based on these zero crossings from filters of different scales, as we saw in the examples, could be more effective than single scale operation for edge detection. You want robustness and you want to see edges persist over multiple scales of the filtering operation, and then you would label such edges as real edges and the others would be disregarded or rejected. So when you compute the zero crossing maps over multiple scales, you get what is called the scale space. The multi-channel model of the HVSS human visual system and the Marr-Hildreth spatial coincidence theory lead to methods for multi-scale analysis. So multi-scale here means that we are using filters of different scale or different size. And the different size refers to the use of different values of sigma in the Laplacian of Gaussian. So you create a bank of Laplacian of Gaussian filters with several values of sigma, and in the continuous representation, you could write it as the Laplacian of Gaussian, nabla square g, x, y, sigma, a set of such functions with sigma greater than zero, and then up to some value depending upon your pixel resolution and the smoothing required and the spatial extent of the operators required. Witkin introduced the concept of scale space and said this psi xy sigma of an image fxy is the set of all zero crossings of the Laplacian of Gaussian operator. Xy, it's a mapping of xy locations for each sigma such that the zeta xy sigma is equal to zero, which is defined in this manner. That is the Laplacian of Gaussian operator for that scale applied to the original image of fxy, and then conditions on the derivative of that and sigma being greater than zero, which is essentially the collection of zero crossing pixels or locations that I showed earlier. So this psi x y sigma is the set of such maps, pixel values corresponding to zero crossings, and you have one for each scale and how many ever values of sigma that you decide to use in your application. Here I'm showing 1, 2, 3, 4, but you may go 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, and so on. It depends upon how you sample, how you want to sample the space of sigma and how you want to increment from one value to the next. So that is the mapping here, the set of all zero crossings of the Laplacian of Gaussian. As the scale sigma varies, then that set forms continuous surfaces in the x, y, sigma space. So you have one image for one sigma, another, another, and if you stack, these zero crossing lines or pixels you saw in each map will form some surfaces, the third dimension being sigma. Now you would expect a real edge to form a continuous surface in such a map in the scale space. Now one of my postdoctoral fellows, Jicheng Liu, we developed a discrete scale space approach to construct a representation of an image in terms of what we called a stability map. We need a measure of stability of zero crossings in the scale space, and those pixels that are stable, those zero crossings that are stable across multiple scales over a certain range would be counted. And this is a measure of pattern boundary persistence over a range of scale of the filters. And those pattern boundaries that are persistent are real edges. The others are not and are discarded. So a set of zero crossing maps is generated by convolving the image with the set of isotropic functions. These are the Laplacian of Gaussian for sigma I going 1 to n. So sigma is not continuous, of course, anymore. In practice, you have to discretize this. So you could use m, sigma I going 1 to 8 if you want, or you can sample it in a different way. You could also increase the number of sigma values if you wish. So instead of directly matching all the zero crossing locations at a particular point, we proposed a criterion C sigma I to define a neighborhood in which the matching is performed. So C sigma I is the set of X prime, Y prime, such that X prime is in the vicinity of X. Because you don't expect the zero crossing locations to be precisely the same across multiple scales. So you allow for some minor variation, and that depends upon the scale used, sigma, because that, because of smoothing and blurring, could cause some shifting in the position of the corresponding zero crossing. So the set of coordinates in the vicinity of x and y, with the vicinity defined as plus minus lambda sigma I in the x and y direction, with lambda being greater than 1, and that is some scaling factor, and sigma is the scale. So these are the locations of the zero crossings, x prime, y prime, and x, y is the pixel location at which the filters are being applied, and you consider that region. If a zero crossing psi x, y, sigma I is found in the neighborhood of C sigma I, an arbitrary constant kappa is assigned to this function si, x, y. So you increment that function x, y for that location. So you search the scale space not at the same pixel across the scale, but in a neighborhood, and that neighborhood is not the same. It depends upon scale. As scale increases, the neighborhood also increases. So it's like a cone in which zero crossings are combined into one map. Then there is a further adjustment. There is what we call adjusted zero crossing map is obtained. That is S1, S2, so on, Sn. So these are the scales. The adjusted zero crossing map is used to construct what we call the zero crossing stability map, which is the xi, xy, And that is the sum of all of these stability maps. So this value is then a measure of boundary stability through the various scales of the filter. So according to the spatial coincidence assumption of Maher and Hildreth, a true boundary should be high in contrast and should have high or large value in this map at the corresponding location. And there should be no other edges within a certain neighborhood of a real edge. You don't expect multiple edges to be present within certain neighborhood. It depends upon how busy the image is. So, but you would not expect one edge here and another edge in the next pixel or within a certain number of pixels, which is an assumption made. So if in a neighborhood of this map, non-zero stability map values exist only along the orientation of a local segment, that is the assumption made, then that is a stable edge pixel position, xy. So in a neighborhood of this psi xy, non-zero stability map values should exist only along the orientation of that local segment, then that is correct. Otherwise, you reject it. So there is another relative stability index, mu xy, computed. If in a neighborhood or in a neighborhood of psi xy, if m non-zero values are found, then that map is relabeled as L0 and the rest are relabeled as LK. And for that, there is an illustration here. So here is the pixel being processed. L1, L2, L3, these points are found in a neighborhood of zero crossing of L0. And DI is the distance, D1, D2, D3. These are the distance values. So the arrows here indicate the directions of the zero crossings. And we take into account this information. And in A, the neighborhood zero crossings are far apart. So these distances, D1, D2, D3, are large. And they impose a low penalty. Whereas here, in part B, these distances are small. And that is a high penalty associated with that zero crossing at L0. So you check the neighborhood of each zero crossing for other zero crossings with certain and measure their distances and use that information. Let me go back. To create this map. The relative stability index map, mu xy, is then defined in this manner, L0 divided by the sum of rho k lk, where rho k is exponential minus d squared k, which is the distance to the other zero crossing, and you take that weighted combination. And that indicates how many other zero crossings are present in the vicinity of the current zero crossing. So this value mu xy is between 0 and 1, and the value of mu xy is governed by the geometrical distribution of the neighboring values of the stability index values, that is, these other values. It's a lengthy procedure. We are getting to the close here. The stability of zero crossings is another issue. In image analysis based on zero crossings, it is desirable to be able to distinguish between real zero crossings and false ones due to noise and artifacts. One of the proposed methods is to have a condition. This is psi xy. I earlier called that, I believe that one is, I said psi, but that is chi. Is that right? That is chi. And this is psi or xi. Sometimes I forget the name here of the Greek character. Okay, this is, does anybody remember? This is xi. Oxide. I'm sorry? Xi. Okay. This is xi xy. If xi xy is less than 0 and false if xi xy is greater than 0, where this xi xy is given as the gradient of the nabla square of Pxy dot product with the gradient of Pxy, where that quantity further, Pxy, is a smooth version of the given image, such as the Gaussian of a certain scale being convolved with the image, and then these derivatives are defined in this manner. So this is a condition that Clark proposed to check for the stability of zero crossings with this condition on the value. Let me just go ahead and check. Okay, that's the one. So here is an example of the application. When Ji-Cheng Liu worked with me as a postdoc fellow, we were interested in the detection of collagen fibers in these scanning electron microscope images of rabbit ligaments. Our aim was to detect these collagen fibers, measure the area of the collagen fiber at each angle, and get an angular distribution of the collagen fiber area, an average over number of images for different levels of different periods of healing of the ligament after injury, and then study the reorientation or realignment of collagen fibers. I will not be able to show the result of application of this. The analysis of directional patterns is described in another chapter, and we won't be able to go into that chapter in this course, chapter 8. But here, we are only looking at segmentation. What we want to detect is the collagen fiber, or edges of all collagen fibers, reliably. And there is a variation in thickness of the collagen fibers, and when they overlap or when they are superimposed like this, then there is some ambiguity as to where is the real edge. So here we have an SEM image of a ligament scar tissue sample. B, C, D are zero crossing locations with sigma equal to 1, 4, 8. So at some sigma, at low sigma values, you get spurious edges due to minor variations in grayscale. With further smoothing with sigma equal to 2 and 4, the smaller details disappear and the larger details remain. But when you put them all together, in E, we have the stability map obtained. Now, unfortunately, this image was scanned from a printed version, so you don't see all the details in the map E. But these edges detected in E correspond to the true edges in the image A, in the original image, according to this theory. So you take this and map onto the original image, and then you have the edges. And by detecting the angle of the edges, we can get the orientation. And then we need to also match the edges of a given collagen fiber, one edge against the other, to find the area in between. That was another step that we did that I'm not describing here. And finally, we obtain the area of each collagen fiber and break that into orientation maps and study the distribution of the angular dispersion of collagen fiber, if there is a preferred orientation or not, and what is the dispersion about a specific orientation. In this part, we are only looking at the detection of the edges and how we can reliably detect only the stable edges and ignore or reject spurious edges. So this is an illustration of scale space and Laplacian of Gaussian. There's quite a lot of detail in between that I described briefly, but if you really want to know the details, you'll have to read through all of those steps carefully. Any questions on this? A popular technique for the detection of edges is known as Canny's method. Canny proposed an approach for edge detection where three criteria were stated as important. The method includes edge detection, multi-directional derivatives, multi-scale analysis, and optimization procedures. The criteria that Canny proposed are as follows: low probabilities of false edge detection and missing real edges in the form of a signal-to-noise ratio. So there is a detection issue. You want to detect real edges and not false edges. Good localization. The detected edges must be at the correct position, and that is represented in terms of a root mean square distance of the detected edge from the true edge. And then the production of a single output for a single edge. The Laplacian of Gaussian we saw gives you double edges, and that is, I'm sorry, the Laplacian itself gives you double edges, and that's not desirable. And this is represented by the distance between the adjacent maxima and the output. You don't want multiple edges coming in the output. The basic filter used by Kani is the first derivative of a Gaussian. And this is sometimes written as DOG or DOG. So along with a log filter, you have a DOG filter, which is the derivative of a Gaussian. Multiscale analysis and directional filters were incorporated by Kani for edge detection at all orientation and scale, but there is a selection performed too. Adaptive thresholding is included. The directional derivative is evaluated across each edge, and Kani's method avoids derivatives at other angles that would not contribute to edge detection, but would contribute to noise. So there is a selection procedure involved here. I did not prepare any further detail. I went through Kani's paper, but I found that the qualitative description is adequate. If you want to try Kani's method, it's available in MATLAB under edge detection methods. So you could try that and see. I don't have any examples here. The other examples, I believe, are adequate. Okay. Now, these are space domain methods that we have seen just now recently using various masks and Laplacian of Gaussian. The Laplacian of Gaussian could be implemented in the frequency domain if you wish, depending upon the value of sigma. Convolution may be faster or not as compared to frequency domain implementation. So there is a choice there. But let's look at frequency domain methods for edge detection, which we have seen to some extent. High-pass filters may be applied in the Fourier domain, and you get edges. But the problem here would be if you were to include all high-frequency components, then you will have noise also emphasized. So you need some rejection of very high-frequency components relative to some cutoff. And then if you were to reduce high-frequency noise, then that suggests the use of band-pass filters. And because edges are often weak or blurred in images, some enhancement of the corresponding frequency components would be required. So you want to boost some frequency components, but beyond certain other frequency limit, you want to bring the gain down, which means we need a band-pass filter. And we have already seen that the Laplacian of Gaussian is a band-pass filter. So we go back to that. If you want to implement something in the frequency domain, a bandpass filter is desirable, and the Laplacian of Gaussian is a combination of a high-pass filter, which is a Laplacian, and a low-pass filter, which is a Gaussian. So what we saw just now is good for frequency domain implementation of edge detection too. So convolution in the image domain is multiplication in the frequency domain. So you could design your multi-scale Laplacian of Gaussian filters, if you wish, in the frequency domain, apply that filter repeatedly to the Fourier transform of the given image, and get multiple outputs. And then combine them as you wish, according to some stability measure. Okay? Now, the edges that you detect, as we saw in some of the examples, may not be continuous, and you may not detect all pixels along each edge. The results of most methods for edge detection will give you discontinuous result. So you need to process the result further to link disjoint segments, and if there are gaps, you have to decide whether that gap is possibly a pixel that you missed in your detection method, and if you need to link these two pieces. And that is based on two principal properties. One is the strength of the gradient. A point x prime y prime in a neighborhood of xy is similar in gradient magnitude to the point xy if the difference between the if the magnitude of the difference between their gradients is less than some threshold. So at each pixel you have a certain gradient value and you take the difference and take the magnitude, and if that is less than some threshold, you say these two are similar, which means they ought to be linked. But then it is not simply the magnitude. There is also the gradient, as I implied in showing two lines with a broken segment in between. The two lines or two pieces must have the same orientation. If one is like this and the another part is like this and there is a gap in between, then you may not want to link those two pieces because they could be of different edges. So you check the direction of the gradient, and a point x prime y prime in a neighborhood of xy is similar in gradient direction to xy if the angle alpha xy is close to the angle alpha x prime y prime less than a certain threshold in difference, where A is some angle or threshold. And alpha xy is the angle of the gradient gxy at that point, which is related to the partial derivatives in the y and x directions by the inverse tangent function. So you could use some neighborhoods, 3 by 3, 5 by 5, to check pixels for similarity and label them and link them if these conditions are met.